Good morning. With us, our political observer, Alan Chartok, on a Wednesday morning. And Alan, let's do rapid fire today. Got lots of stuff to ask you about. You ready?
Cool. I look forward to it.
Here we go. Rand Paul jumping into the presidential contest.
Well, it's very interesting. It's a curious mixture of libertarianism and conservatism. And this guy is not afraid to go where others haven't gone. And so he breaks with his party on a number of major issues. And he is seen as an alternative with polish to his father, who annoyed people because sometimes he said things that were really sort of scurrilous. So Rand Paul is a champion not only to libertarians, but to a lot of young people. I hear it all the time. And he could be more formidable than a lot of people expect.
Jill Stein, Green Party presidential candidate-to-be, she's formed an exploratory committee with an eye toward running for the White House in 2016, was in Albany yesterday, Alan, calling attention to the risk of oil on trains, calling them bomb trains.
Well, she's calling it like she sees it. Look, she's a perpetual candidate. She's somebody who is admired by people usually on the ultra left, but that doesn't make her wrong. She's just never seen as being a person who could take it all. However, it's always good to have people of conscience making these runs.
Stay with Albany for a second, Alan. Albany County District Attorney's Office says it's conducting an independent investigation of the death of a man who died in police custody after officers subdued him with a stun gun. This is 39-year-old Albany resident Donald Ivy Jr. Had a medical condition, as well as the idea of stun guns and if that's a problem there.
Well, look, it's tough to be a cop. We all know that. You have to make life or death decisions in a split second. Stun guns were heralded as better than bullets, which go into your body and kill you. Nevertheless, they are not toys, and people who have these conditions could suffer as a result. However, if you're a police officer and you're being either attacked or threatened or in the middle of the night somewhere having to make this kind of decision, it is a thankless task too often. However, do we know that there have been some police officers, we hear about them all the time, who go over the top and who shoot when they don't have to? The answer is yes. We know that there are such people, and increasingly, very slowly, we're beginning to see grand juries taking a different kind of look at some of these people.
Off to Massachusetts, where Attorney General Maura Healey says Boston Marathon bomber Johar Tsarnaev deserves to spend the rest of his life in jail. Of course, this is all over the death penalty in this trial.
Well, it is. And, you know, this is a classic question. Many of the people who call our call-in shows and Vox Pop and who let us know on the roundtable how they feel are opposed to the death penalty. They think the state should not kill. There is no question that if you are the relative of a victim, the mother, the father, the son, or the daughter, you know, you may feel differently about this. There can be little argument that the people of this country have slowly come around to the idea that the death penalty is a bad thing. My objection comes that inevitably, when you say, okay, but then you have to stay in a cell for 23 hours a day for the rest of your life, as Mario Cuomo used to say, the only thing you would hear is the toilet seat going up and down, is that inevitably, after a relatively short period, somebody will say, let's let them out. I know that Yoko Ono, for example, goes every year to protest the fact that her husband's killer is up for parole. And I think that if you're going to say life without parole, then you should mean that, because they have taken somebody's life or several people's lives.